so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away. It's only good music. Oh. The things you said stays in my mind. Makes me wanna sit down and listen to you. I listen all night. The melody, the arrangement makes my body go so crazy. I tie my feet, man, I love the beat. It's the way the music comes over me. The emotions I get, I won't fight. Sometimes the music is sure to make you cry, then dry your eyes. You know when the music is the way you can hide. Well, I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away. It's only good music.
Please don't stop the music. Kaloran strum my pain with the fingers. I could really use it. Quiet storms full of purple rain. My Sharia more lovely as a summer day. I'll let the whispers follow Marvin Gaye in my headphones till the music starts to fade away. I give away my brown sugar for a bit of pop. If love really was a bullet, I'd have took the shot. Yeah. Now would you buy me a drink just to take me home? Put your game in a song just to make me moan. I like my Robin Thicke, me alone. A thug album, triple shots, that's a trait.
I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away. It's only good music.
Hello, hello, and good evening to each and every one of you. Thank you so much for joining me here on this, our second show of a brand new season here on Healing Through Hurt iTalk Radio. I'm your host, C. Maria Wall, a.k.a. the Shero at your Ground Zero. And tonight, I have a very, very special guest. So I want everyone to sit back and get ready to join my guest and I as we walk through her journey, a journey that led her to create a book titled It Only Hurts When I Can't Run, One Girl's Story. And when she comes on, you will see that so many of us can relate to her story. So let me tell you a little bit about Gawanda Johnson Parker. She is the founder and CEO of Hope and Healing Corporation, serving the needs of the marginalized of society locally and abroad, in Haitian and African orphanages. In 2003, she started an organization to help young girls and teens suffering with self-esteem and identity issues. Gowanda is a featured concert soloist and has sung and played in worship services throughout the U.S., Canada, and the Bahamas. Johnson holds a Master of Divinity degree from Asbury Theological Seminary. Most notable, in 2003, she was asked to speak to the highly militant religious divides between the Protestants and the Catholics in Belfast, Northern Ireland. We're going to get into so much more of her journey as I bring her on now to forgive you all. It's amazing. I was just speaking with her, and I told her that I've been running all day, and suddenly my eyesight just went for a moment, and everything got blurry. I guess I'm tired, and we are going to make it through this because I have been looking forward to this. So with that said, we're going to welcome her to the show. Hello, my sister. Hello, hello, and welcome.
Thank you. Hello. Thanks for having me.
I am so glad that you are here. We were speaking briefly, and, you know, I told you that the post office had lost your package, and I just recently received it. But I started reading this book in all of my spare time, and I want to tell you, you know, it's almost like there were so many things that were in this book that I have witnessed or I have experienced for myself, and so many of the listeners and the people who I work with can so identify with this book. So we're going to just start at the very beginning. First and foremost, let's just do this a little bit backwards, because I'd like for you to talk about your corporation and the mission that you're doing and the orphanages. I was so impressed with that. I think that that would be a great place to start, because sometimes we need to start further down the road than the very beginning where the pain began, because I'd like for people to see, hey, there is light at the end of the tunnel. So tell us a little bit about who you are and, of course, how you started your corporation.
Well, presently I am a pastor serving two congregations. I am that's the bulk of my time in conjunction with the corporation Hope and Healing. I am a mother, first time mother in my older age, I would say, with a brand new baby, 8 weeks old today.
And oh wow.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I've prayed for children since I was age 11, and God just granted me with this baby last year, and so that's another testimony. But I with Hope and Healing, I started Hope and Healing just, it was almost by accident, because there were so many people, as I would share bits and pieces of my story through speaking engagements or preaching or teaching or just in conversation, when I saw someone hurting and I could identify with their pain, many people would say to me, "You're the first person that I was able to talk to," or mm-hmm. "I have never shared this with anyone." Even a 75-year-old lady, she came to me after I did a conference, Being Made Whole. And after that conference, she came up with tears in her eyes saying, "Thank you for sharing, because I was married for 52 years and my husband never knew." And she began to explain her pain and the traumatic situations that she'd had in her childhood that she held on to. And so in my bio, you see that I was a public school teacher for 23 mm-hmm. years. And looking at the children and kind of seeing, okay, maybe that child is experiencing some of the things that I experienced as a child, I just knew I had to do something. So Hope and Healing right. kind of came out of the need of seeing the hurting people, from adults elderly people all the way down to young children, and not and them not having a safe place to be able to share as well as to get healing. And so it operates primarily through teaching and training and seminars and me doing some life wholeness strategy coaching. And then the outreach part of it, in my story, you see that my mother had a problem with drug addiction. And so I got an opportunity to see the people, what I consider the marginalized of society, those that people just put down and disregard. And so I wanted to help because my mother was a mother. She was not, her first name was not crackhead or addict. She was a mother who had a addiction, and as I began to learn more about it, a sickness. And so in helping the marginalized of society, we began to feed when we could and collect items, food items, clothing items, toiletries, things that we could give to those that needed just the basic necessities just to survive in their addiction or in their homelessness or in their pain until we could direct them to other places where they could get healing and some restitution. And then the orphanages came about because I have always had a heart for mission and for traveling. And I was invited to Africa. I've always wanted to go to Africa, but I was invited primarily to minister and to sing. And then once I went over and I got some connections with people, I began to see that there were children actually roaming the street with no one, absolutely no one. And I was connected with one orphanage in Kenya where the gentleman, he just needed some assistance. He'd taken in over 60 kids into his compound, and from that, he and his wife, they were trying to support them as best as they could, and they started an orphanage, and it went from there, and so I began working with him. And in Haiti, we had, I would say, two orphanages where we served a girls' orphanage of 42 girls and then a boys' orphanage of 8 to 10 boys. And it just came about donations only, primarily out of my pocket, and just having a desire to give and to help those that are in need, particularly the children, because I know how it was with me growing up in the foster care system and needing so much but not having it, the perceived notion that I was being taken care of, but on the underside of it, lacking so much. So that's pretty much how Hope and Healing came about and the services that we provide.
Right, and let me backtrack a little bit. One thing stood out to me is that you said that when you were speaking, you had met a lady about 75 years old, and because of you telling your story, that helped her to open up about her story. And, you know, I find that to be true, and one of my favorite taglines is the fact that our stories are actually our ministries, because so many people feel as though there's something wrong. We, you know, a lot of families tend to keep all of the secrets and lies and all of hurt. Don't tell anybody. It can't leave the walls of the, you know, the house. You know, you close the curtains, you put down all of the windows. Nobody can hear. Nobody can know. And then as years go by, you hear people that will say, well, it happened in the past. Just let it go. Just forget about it. Because so many people, you know, they tend to try to minimalize other people's pain. And it's usually the people where it didn't happen to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. I've seen that so much, and that's some of the reason why I had to write the book. This is volume one, and I'm working on volume two, where it talks about that whole process of coming to grips with what happened. And I have found over and over, and even now in my own family, where people in my family are kind of, sort of, trying to tell me things after I've shared what I have shared so publicly by writing the book. But this 75-year-old lady, she's a representative of so many that have not shared their story. She can't share their story because they don't know where and how it's going to be received, and what happens after you share it. One of the things that a older lady asked me after I'd written the book and she read the book, she said, "I knew you back then. Why didn't you say anything?" And I said, "Would you have believed me?"
Right.
And she said, "Jawanda, I don't think that I would have, simply because everything looks so perfect on the outside. We all saw the pain in your face. We saw your attitude. I had a little attitude back then. We saw your attitude. We couldn't understand why you had an attitude, because everything looked so, you were rescued from the life of your mother's addiction." And, you know, it was a lie. I can't think of anything else except for it was a lie. And here it is, a young girl having to deal with all of this. And so now as an adult, I'm seeing older women, people who are older than me, just broken. We can hide it, but it's going to come out some kind of way. Some kind of way it's going to come out through our actions, through our beliefs, through our relationships that we can't hold on to, through our own addictions, from food addictions all the way down to sex addictions. It's going to show itself. So why not be the person to tell your own story and not allow somebody else to speculate about it?
Exactly. And that, you know, I shared with you a little bit before the show, that's the crossroad that I'm at now, because so many people have said, just forget about it. You cannot just forget about it. And as you said, I know one of the places I was speaking, and I met a lady, she was in her 90s, and she broke down in tears. And I always carry around a little package of tissues, because if I get into that conversation with someone or they hear me, suddenly at the end, they're going to come up and say, you know what, you were speaking my life, or I understood, and this is the first time. And there are so many people out here who are so afraid, and they've been afraid for generations. It's like it's a generational curse. And I think that's why so many unhappy people are here now, because they're holding on to so much hurt and pain. And like you said, number one, you were a child. We, as children, a lot of times, we don't really know how to articulate or say what's going on, because we don't really understand it. We know that something may not be right, or we know that we're hurting. But, you know, what do? Grab somebody by the arm and say, "Hi, so-and-so did this, da-da-da-da." We don't have that type of cognitive thinking when we're very young.
Exactly.
So, go ahead, please.
One of the things that stands out now as an adult for me is, particularly with the sexual abuse that I experienced, all of my perpetrators came from safe, perceived safe places. See, it would have been different if they had been noted or signaled out as a pedophile or something. But these were safe places. And so as a child, you're thrown off. This is someone who's supposed to protect me, someone who's supposed to love me, someone who's supposed to be a guide or a mentor for me. Why is this happening? And so you don't know what to say. You don't know how to process that, because you see them in one light, and then you have this monster on the other side of it. So that's one of the things that I've had to come to grips with as well. And then having to deal with their reputation. If I did say something, who would believe a little girl?
Right. And we already have comments coming in over here in our show chat room. Gene the Quiet Storm, he says, let's go up here because it's jumping again. Gene says, we just believe that it's the way that we're being treated. It's how life should be. And then he goes on to say, so as a child, we just adjust to life as it is presented to you and just suck up the pain.
Yes, yes. That's the reason why my book is called It Only Hurts When I Can't Run. I started running away in my mind as a young child, trying to escape the pain. So I would pretend that I was a princess, that I was somewhere else. I loved tulips. I was always in the tulip field in my mind, so that I could not be present in the pain or the abuse that was happening to me. And so consequently, it turned out to work good for me at that age. And then it also gave me something to reach for later to say, well, I'm not responsible for right now, but later on I can have this type of life. And so I always knew that I was going to escape. I just didn't know how. And so at the times where I could not escape, I would sleep, or I would just go into my make-believe world in my mind and run that way. And he's right.
Right.
This is how life is supposed to be, especially when no one is showing us anything different. So
we accept it. And you know, I was thinking at that moment that I always tell people, and I guess you can kind of chime in on this, at some point in my life when I became an adult, young adult, I stood up and I looked in the mirror and I said, you know what, I'm in charge of me now. Do I stay here and just remain a victim, or do I figure out how to take the pain of the past and make it something positive? So was that the same for you?
That was the same for me, but it came in waves. And what I mean by that is, and like when I was 11, I said, I will never, ever cry again. And so I put up this hard exterior where I would not cry publicly. And that was almost like a safety net or mechanism that I used to hold myself together. And later on, I took responsibility to say, okay, I'm going to make something out of myself. I am not going to allow this to define who I am forever. And then when I went into counseling and I began to uncover, when I could see the residue of my behaviors and my patterns and how I dealt with people, I had to then redefine who I was and who I wanted to be in a healthy state. And so it really came for me in waves. And even now, it's interesting. I was writing in my journal this morning after having my baby. It's another turn, because now I've taken on this role of, I'm going to make sure that I do everything in my power to protect her. And so that means that I have to be my most healthy emotional state so that I don't project my fear onto her. And so I'm in a different place now, to where I'm going to have to work through some of those areas because I'm already an overprotective mom, and she's only 8 weeks. And so I know a lot of that stems from what happened in the past, but I need to be in a healthy state so that she can have a normal life.
Yes, yes, and we still have comments coming in. Over here, Should Be Fishing says, you come to a point, you have to make a choice. Are you going to let it break you, or are you going to get on with your life? And that's exactly what, right. But so many people are under that false impression that it only happens to me. Nobody would understand because I'm the only person in the world that this is happening to, and even listening to you speak now. You know, I know that in the past people viewed me as mean and this and that, and they didn't know why I was mean, and then naturally some people had answers that they were giving, but those were the people that were exactly doing the things to me that made me want to be disconnected and withdrawn. And at the time I didn't know that, you know, on one end that's what they wanted, for me to be isolated from everyone else. I didn't know that there was a name for that back then. You know, I didn't know that there was programs that I could, as a child, call someone and say, come and help. I didn't know any of that. And then, like you said, you had your family member who said, why didn't you say something back then? You know, I have certain people that say, well, we kind of figured something was wrong, but we didn't want to get involved, or we ignored it. And to me, in 2015, that hurts me more now. Hearing them say, I'm like, oh, my God, you knew, and you chose to do nothing, and you praised the very person who was hurting me. And how, you know, how do we get past that? Oh, my goodness, that is the worst feeling in the world. And that's why this show is called Healing Through Hurt, because I want every listener, and they're very active over here in the show chat room tonight. I see everybody's typing over there, so you have a lot more comments coming. But that's the most hurtful thing in the world. And do you believe that that's one of the reasons why so many people go back into their shell and go back into their life of silence? Because, you know, that's devastating to me. I'm at a point in my life where I can keep moving forward, but that doesn't diminish the hurt at all. And how do you sit people down who you love the most and say, you know, wow, did you just say that to me?
Yes, I totally resonate with you with that, because after sharing my story and hearing some of the comments that have come in, the feedback from my book, it made me angry. It made me angry because the adults were in a position to help, and they chose to look the other way. And so part of my quest in life and part of my purpose, I would say, is to make sure that I'm not one of those that turns the way and allow a child to be hurt or to be victimized, especially when I see it. And the other thing is knowing that there were so many people who had insight. When I was going through counseling, I talked with, now she's now deceased, but one of my godmothers, and she said to me, I fought for you. You didn't know I was fighting for you. That's the reason why you were at my house all the time, because the last couple of years I stayed with her. And she began to share with me some of the things that she was fighting for and the resistance that she encountered, simply because she was one who stood up to say, this is not right. And you can look at her and see something is wrong, something is going on. But, yes, it does make you angry, especially when you have adults who are in a position or who were in a position to bring you some relief, and they didn't.
Right. And, oh, my gosh, we have comments galore. And I love this because tonight we have males involved, females involved. This is wonderful when we can get males and females sharing their stories tonight. And I love it when, it comes together like this. And let's go back over here to the show chat room and get with these comments because they are scrolling along. Should be fishing, says, there were no programs back then for me in the 70s and 80s. When I tried to speak up back then, I was told and made to feel that it was my fault. And then Jean, the Quiet Storm, says, exactly, family members are very aware of what is going on, but most do not want to take action against those hurting their children. They feel, I don't want anyone telling me what to do with my child, so I won't tell anyone how to raise theirs. And Gone Be Fishing is saying, everyone knew for me what was going on. No one wanted to get involved. And Jean writes, and with other children growing up with you, they may be intimidated, so they fear saying something to the adult for fear of repercussions. And Fishing is saying, yes, my mother was getting beat up and put in the hospital. She was scared. And that's a whole nother issue. And it when one of the parents is being abused and they're just trying to survive as well. So, you know, you can see, and even in the conversation going on over in the chat room, how this dynamic, it just becomes larger and larger and larger. And they've shown two totally different sides where you said that you had a family member who was fighting for you, but then they met with opposition. Then I had people who knew who chose not to do anything. Then some people had people who were being abused, who were afraid to speak up. We have hit on so many dynamics here in this short, 32 minutes of the show already. And that's so amazing because, you know, we have hit on something that almost every listener tonight, right now, next week, you know, whenever they hear it in the archives, somebody can say, oh, my gosh, that's my life.
Yes, yes. And the sad thing, as I began to write my story, I did interviews with family members, those who would talk to me, and I would ask hard questions. My grandmother, my maternal grandmother, she shared so much of her life with me that as she was sharing her life, I was thinking, oh, my goodness, that's me. That is me. That's it, you know, and I would say, Granny, and tell me this. You know, I would ask her a question based on what I had experienced, and true enough, she had experienced something similar to that. When we got to my mother, after a few years, my mom, she, at the beginning, it was too painful for her to know that I had experienced some of the same exact things that she had experienced. And so we went through a period of time where she just could not come to grips with the fact that I had been abused. I mean, she'd done her part, but in the foster care system, thinking that I was in a better place. And with the people who I was with, that was going to be better. Coming to know that so much happened away from her, she had a hard time dealing with that. But as we went on and on and on throughout the story and throughout everything, she began to share her life. And as she shared her life, it seemed as if, you said something earlier about generational curses, that this bear happened from my grandmother to my mother to me, and in each generation it looked like it became stronger or just took on a different force with it. But it was common. And so I think sometimes the people that are most afraid to say anything are victims themselves, and they have yet to deal with their own pain or their own scars from their past. And so to step up to help someone else, that's just going to uncover what they've been hiding all their lives. Like I'll go back to the 75-year-old lady. How many of her siblings or children or grandchildren experience what she experienced? experience, but through her silence, she would never know, because she
right.
wasn't strong enough to be able to say it. She wasn't strong enough to come out and to expose it. So they didn't have a safe place to expose it. I'm speculating. But in my life, I didn't have a safe place. It was only after I probed and asked questions that my mom shared and my grandmother shared. And so a lot of times we're just living in the remnants of something that's common. It's happening. And I'm speaking now in terms of the sexual abuse part of it.
Right. Right. And that's the worst part is, you know, as an adult, I sit back and I'm still trying to make sense of it all. And I'm by myself because so many people said, just let it go. You know, just forget about it. And I can't forget
mm-hmm.
about it because that's a big part of my life that I need answers to.
Yeah.
And like I said, you know, it's 2014. I got the worst information. You know, I figured that something was wrong. And in my mind, I had done the worst case scenarios. But to have it, you know, validate it, it still cuts through me like a knife. And to think maybe as a child, but then again, I was a child, so I only saw the family members, and they always looked happy and okay to me. But my question was, I wasn't okay, but maybe like you said. But again, if no one is willing to talk and no one's willing to share and no one's willing to let go of these curses that they keep carrying on, a lot of people are stuck in that one place. So I think what I'm getting to is the fact that at some point we have to realize that, yeah, maybe it did, as you said, it's just assumptions, we're not sure, but we have to look in the mirror and take care of the person that we see there, because
yeah.
we have to speak our truth and then start our healing process. And like you said, you have an 8-week-old baby there. You have to heal, and that's a journey that may take you the rest of your life, but the thing is that you're putting one foot in front of the other, and you're determined not to
yes.
let that curse follow into your daughter, and that's what really matters. And
yes.
I think that, you know, for me, I'm not so sure that some people, it was such a curse. There were people that were still hurting and influencing and you know, deceiving and all of that, and it ran through to then my children and things like that. So you have to, there comes that point when some family members may never forgive you, because it suddenly some people think that it's our fault, and they may never forgive. And how does one get past that part when sometimes some family members are never going to accept what you're saying? They're never going to believe it. And they may believe it, but they will never admit it, let's say that way. What
yeah.
do you suggest people do to get past that? Because that's a whole other realm of rejection and hurt on top of what's already happened. Then we'll go back into the chat room, because naturally they are off the chain typing away again. So
it's interesting you would bring that up. Those that have read, that family members that have read my story that I'm aware of, I've had both positive and negative feedback. None that
mm-hmm.
came directly to me, but by way of one person told the other person. And the one thing that did come out was, why is she talking? That was the one that I heard. And the other one was, oh, that's just a bunch of mess. And when I got that feedback that the family member said, oh, it's just a bunch of mess, what ended up happening is that their lives were capped by my story. It took me almost 16 years to get through writing this book, because I kept going back and forth, taking out bits and pieces and parts so that I would not tell or expose other people, so that it would really come off as my story, and in some ways try to protect people as much as I could. And so the one family member who was negatively gave negative feedback. They never read the book, but they heard about the book, and they were able to share what they felt. But in saying that, it just was exposed that they too had been abused, and more people knew about their abuse than mine. And so what I would say to anyone who comes out at any point, someone is going to say something positive and negative. We just have to be comfortable in sharing our story. No one can take that away from us. No one. No one can take your truth away. And once I began to get healed, the healing part of it helped me to know that I could not remain a victim. And so not remaining a victim now gives me the boldness to look at anyone and say, hey, that's my story. You can have your opinion, but you cannot silence me anymore, because I spent so many years being silent, being afraid, just living under shame. The shame that I encountered was so bad, I couldn't even look at people in their eye. I felt so hopeless, and I didn't like myself. I thought I was ugly. I thought my body was a magnet for people to hurt me. Much that came with being victimized. So now it's like you can think whatever you want to think. You can say whatever you want to say, but you're not going to shut me up at this point. So I would just encourage people, know your truth and live in your truth, because the truth is going to set us free. That's like in the Bible, it says the truth will set you free. When I was silent, I was bound. And I can't say that I'm totally healed to the place where, you know, I'm on clouds. No, I still struggle in those areas. And when I struggle or I see triggers or things that come up that remind me, I go immediately to deal with that, because I don't ever want to go back to those places of bondage.
Right. And that's exactly it. And, you know, that we'll talk on another subject in a second. We're going to delve into that a little bit deeper, and then we're going to go actually into some pieces of the book. But they have done a lot of talking here in the show chat room. Let me get to that for you. Should Be Fishing said, this is going to sound crazy, and it's only taken 50 years, but I'm finally finding my voice. I'm not that little scared boy hiding in that closet anymore. And yes. And Fishing goes on to say, yes, it still hurts. And then Jean comes in and says, that's deep, Should Be Fishing. My father was very controlling, and I had two brothers and one sister. I remember one moment in the past where my father wouldn't let my mother even feed the children because he had locked my mother in the room while I had to go to the kitchen to get bread to feed my little sister and my little 1 and 2 year old twin brothers while he held her hostage in the room. Another moment, my little brother, who is now deceased, pulled out a butter knife to threaten my father if he didn't stop. This is getting deep tonight, people. If he didn't stop attacking my mother. And Should Be Fishing writes, yes, my father hit, kicked, slapped, threw us downstairs, pulled guns on us. He had no limits. My brothers are alcoholics on drugs. My family is messed up. And then Jean writes, you seem to have survived the ordeal to turn tragedy into triumph. And Should writes, but I don't want to the past to ruin my life anymore. And he goes on to say, it's an everyday struggle. I'm not going to lie to you. And I think that we can say this across the board, that it's an everyday struggle for all of us, because we can't just shut it off. I would love if there was a switch where we could just shut it off and forget about it and make it blue skies and picket fences and puppies, but it doesn't work that way. But what it is one day at a time, and we have to continue to speak our truth and walk in it. And, you know, people are going to, we're going to have that opposition, like you said, but we have to stick to our truth, because people have been telling their truths for our entire lives. And people bought into that.
Exactly. And the more freedom we get, the more we can expect to get freedom. I don't know how to, no other way except for, like you say, one foot at a time. But it works that way. The more freedom we encounter, it opens up for greater levels or deeper levels of truth and boldness and wholeness and courage to keep moving forward. One of the persons in the chat room said they don't want it to ruin their lives. I would venture to say it would heal the life, simply because now you faced it in a way that you can walk it out a little bit more secure. When I was quiet and when I was silent and when I could not stand on my own two feet to share some of the things that happened to me, then the shame held me hostage. It kept me silent. The pain of it kept me silent. The fear, the anxiety kept me closed off. I would not allow people to get close to me. I had some really awkward relationships. And so all of that was keeping me in a cage. It was only when I began to accept it and say, you know, I hate this happened to me. It's hurtful. It's painful. I'm not like everybody else, but I survived. I survived to wake up this morning. So in waking up, then I have an opportunity to change. What am I going to do with this? That is when I began to get more courage, more strength to keep going and to keep moving. And then consequently to begin to help other people. So it's not that it's going to ruin the life. It's going to, if anything, it's going to add to it. Because that is who we are, and we have to own all of it, own all of who we are, all of my pain, all of the abuse, all of the rejection. I have to own it. And every single day when I'm faced with something that reminds me of whatever it is, I have to look at that in the face and say, no, I'm not running from you. I'm going to deal with this head on. Rejection is a big one. Self-worth is a big one, because we have to keep reminding ourselves that we are okay. We are okay, because how could this happen to me, or why would someone do this to me? I must not be lovable. No one cares. And, you know, that was my default for long, until I had to replace that. And the Word of God helped me being able to receive God's love and to receive God's grace in my life. And every day that I woke up, it's like, oh, I get another chance at this. I'm going to be successful today at liking myself. I'm going to be successful at parenting the Jawanda that wasn't parented. I'm going to be successful in holding a good, sound, solid communication. I'm going to walk away from those relationships that continuously make me feel bad or make me feel less than, because God did not make me to feel this way. And so as I got more and more truth for me through the Bible,
mm-hmm.
the Word of God, then I began to personalize all of that. I am the apple of God's eye. God thinks I'm special. I remember saying that over and over and over. I would look at myself in the mirror and say, God loves you. God loves you. Until I could say, Jawanda, I love you, and I'm going to be good to you, I'm going to take good care of you. And so my victimization, it had to stop with me changing my perspective on things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And for those of you in our call query, if you have a question or a comment, you can press the number 1 on your phone, and I will bring you on air to talk to my very special guest this evening, Jawanda J. Parker. And the title of her book is It Only Hurts When I Can't Run, One Girl's Story. So if you'd like to get involved, because they are certainly active over here in our show chat room this evening, should be fishing. Goes on to say, yes, running from the past just gets you tired. And, you know, and in the same breath, fishing, living in the past gets you tired too. So it depends on which type of tired we want to be, because so many people are actually still living in that past. And so many people say, well, isn't that what we're doing? This is the difference. As I said earlier, our stories are our ministries. This is how we reach out to other people. Someone has to be the person to tell the stories so that other people will know, oh my gosh, I'm really not alone. And if we can make it to this point, it's selfish of us not to share that journey, because we paved that road for others to cross so that their journey is less bumpy. That's what the storytelling is about, to speaking of our truth. It sets us free. What happens between, we have to forgive the people who hurt us so that we can move into our purpose and our destiny, and we can be better parents and spouses and friends and neighbors and people in general. That's what forgiveness is about. The sins of the oppressors, that's between them and God.
Mm-hmm.
We have to forgive so that we can move on. That's how it works. That's how it should work. And they're still typing. So right now, you know, just tell us a little bit about, gosh, where can we begin? Because the book, everything that we're talking about tonight, trust me, get a copy of this book, because if you do book clubs, if you want to start a book club, if this is a way to use it as a catalyst to get people to talk, share the book. Get a copy. The holidays are coming. Get several. This book is wonderful to help you to do exactly what we're doing here tonight. Suddenly, all these people are sharing their stories tonight because we're here. Through a book and the author and the stories. That is why we do what we do. It's not because we like reliving the past. It's our calling to relive it, to help others to heal. Well, as the show says, through their hurts. You have hope in healing. We have to have that. And if everyone sits and just complains, nobody heals. Nobody heals whatsoever. So before you tell people how to get in contact with you and to get a copy of the book, let's go back to the show chat room, because we still have a lot of comments coming. Gene writes, I think Should Be Fishing should share his journey on the show. You know, if he's at that point, yes, he's welcome to do that. You'd be surprised who else went through your journey. It also releases some of the pain of the past so you can get past it to know others have traveled in your shoes. And they have. Maybe they can give you resources to help to get past your pain too. So again, this is what this, I love doing this for this very reason. This very reason. One author, one lady, one voice, and so many people. Look at this. Look at this. I didn't even know these stories. And they're just sharing. And you have people in the call, Corey, who are sitting silently, but I see them. So I know that they're listening. So we're touching people in such a wonderful way. And all that we are is telling the stories, speaking our truths. How mighty is that? How mighty is that?
It's a wonderful piece. It's a wonderful piece. It really is. And I want to speak to the topic of forgiveness, because once we begin to forgive, once we begin to forgive, then it frees us up to receive the forgiveness. What I mean by that is, as I forgave others, then some of the things that I did in my residue of my dysfunction of who I was, it helped others to forgive me. I was probably considered a mean person, and I hurt people. I didn't mean to hurt them, and I didn't want to hurt them, but because I was so broken, I did. And so the hurt and the pain of that, when others begin to understand, you know, Jawanda, I realized that that really wasn't your intention, it helped me. And so it was like I was freed and I was able to forgive others. That whole concept of broken people and hurt people, broken people break other people. It's the same thing with forgiveness. And I receive that forgiveness because every day I make mistakes, every day I do something wrong, I can go to God. And in going to God, it's like I'm so clean and free. And so the forgiveness I receive from God, I'm able to give to others. And as I give it to others, I'm able to see that others forgive me. It is so important to allow ourselves to be free from the things that others have done to us, and not just be entangled with the grudges and holding it, because it just keeps us locked up in chains.
Yes, yes, and you know, I see that you all are still typing over there. So in the interim, tell us how people can reach you and how they can get a copy of this wonderful book. Because I don't know if you realize the power of the book. We just kind of took the stories and pulled them out of the book, and look at what's happening. You know, this is amazing, and this is just wonderful, and I hope that you realize the power of your story, because this is it has nothing to do with me. This has to do with your story and your ministry and your truth that's pulling all of this out of the audience. And I just want you to know this, and I want to thank you. Thank you so much for saying, yes, I'll be on this show, because, you know, I've been around for a while, and I'm still in shock and awe when every now and then I have great guests and wonderful guests, and then every now and then I have that guest that has that extra pinch of salt. You know, if you cook from scratch, you had that extra pinch of salt. And tonight, it's just been one of those wonderful, wonderful mixtures. And they're just talking away over here. You should see it. In the chat room, they're just talking away. But tell us how people can contact you and get a copy of this book.
Right now, you can get a copy from Amazon.com. That's one of the places where they've been selling out of the book over and over and over again. Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, Staples. You can go to my website, which, let me preface it, it is being redone simply because a couple of nights ago it crashed, and so we had to quickly have the webmaster put some other things in it. So definitely go back and check. But it's jawanda.com. You can reach me directly. You can see that on the website as well as Facebook. Jawanda on Facebook, Twitter, all the social media sites where they can share their stories, ask comments, questions, and find the information from the website, jawanda.com.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Wow. They have been talking away. This is so amazing. I love it when it's so interactive.
That's
oh my
a good
goodness.
Thing.
Very yes, it is.
Very encouraging. That's one of the things that I have just asked and prayed about, that I wouldn't just tell my story, but that my story would be a catalyst for change for others. And to hear that you have people in the chat room that this has stimulated them and sparked them to share their story, that's just an answer to prayer. So I'm happy that in telling my story, it's helping others to be able to come out with theirs as well.
Yes, yes. And it's so funny because Gene is one of my biggest supporters and fans, and he's just putting me out there. He says, you know, see, Maria's a life coach too. She could actually help you outside of this or show to make sense of what you're feeling. It may help you to get to a point to where you feel more comfortable to share your pain. Should Be Fishing says, I actually want to start a blog. And, oh, by the way, Should Be said that he's going to come back and tell his story. He can't do it tonight, but he is going to come back and share. So I'll keep you posted when that is. So if you're free and you can listen in and jump in, and he can talk to you. That's really great.
Yes.
He says, I've been watching YouTube videos to learn how. Well, you know what? Should Be Fishing. We're right here. I'll give my information before the show ends, so you can always reach out, and you have Jawanda's information. You are so not alone in this, and speak your truth and be free. That's what I always say, speak your truth and be free. Gene writes,
yes.
You should. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised what your voice can do to help others pass their own pain. And make people feel less alone in their journey through life. Absolutely. Absolutely. That is what tonight has been about. For those of you, of course, in the call query, I see you sitting there, so if you'd like to be on air, you have a question or comment, all you have to do is press the number 1, and I will bring you on air with Jawanda and myself. So feel free to press the number 1 on your phones. If not, we know that you have been here from the beginning, so we know that you're here for a reason, and we hope that you are getting what you need out of the we hope that you're getting what you need out of this conversation this evening. So please, if you are interested in being on air, feel free. And if not, just sit back and continue to enjoy this program. So once again, I'm going to look over here. Okay, I think we're caught up in the show chat room right now. So let me ask you this, because, my gosh, this conversation tonight, it's just spoken for itself, and it's really, it's there. The book is wonderful. This is what can happen. Sit down, find that time to read this book. This book will bring up things within you to help you to heal. And you don't have to necessarily get on a talk show or speak about it. You can always simply Write it down. Write down your hurt. We have to get it from inside to outside so that we can be free. We have to let it go into the atmosphere, let it out into the universe and be done. Spread your wings and fly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I would encourage everyone to share your story. When I started, I've always journaled, and so I would write and write and write and write. But it's someone out there that can benefit from your story.
Right.
I would encourage every person, even if you just write it down, to share it to your children and your grandchildren, because we all have something that we're supposed to impart into the universe, into this world. It is our responsibility, I would say, to make sure that we leave a legacy of who we are and some identification that we came across this earth. So we can help other people, so that other people just know just the intricate parts of who we are. So that person who's in the chat room, absolutely, get out there, do the blog, tell your story, share the successes that you have had and the challenges, the pain or whatever. You will be surprised at how much sharing your story is going to liberate you, but also is going to help others.
Exactly. And just to pull that up a little bit and add to it, you know, I created this show. It sat for a year. I didn't know what I was going to do with it. So I had a show that I didn't do anything with until, my adult life was never even a catalyst for anything. I just happened to have married the wrong man and ended up in a domestic violence and an abusive relationship. And that was the catalyst to bring healing through hurt to life. But in doing so and going through therapy and all of this and that, you know, I had to dig deep and find out why it even happened. And I didn't do it because I wanted to beat myself up. I did it because I needed to know what the root of this was and how I found myself with this particular individual. And then it started something within me. It ignited, I guess, my psyche and all of the things, the hurt that I had put way back in my psyche somewhere. It started to bring it to the forefront. And I wanted to know, looking back on life, I said, I have really tolerated a lot of mess and been silent about a lot of things my entire life, and I needed to know why. And that's how it worked for me. You know, I in your story, you wrote about it and all of that, but that, in order for me to survive, I think I had to suppress it.
Yes.
It had to be suppressed, because had I not, I wouldn't be here. Because I did the clinical depression and all of that, and I had the pretty little purple pills that I take to help me feel better and things like that. And I said, God, it has to be something else. I know you didn't put me on this earth to be someone's footstool. And as you said, you were actually angry, but people had the perception that I was angry when all I was withdrawn. Because I was taught, you know, in my mind, my abusers were like, nobody likes you. Nobody, and to this day, right up until, you know, 2014 or so, they were still telling me how people and family members don't like me and they don't this and they don't that. And sometimes when I'm in family's company now, I'm like, I wonder if there's any truth to what they're saying. Is it just that they still don't want me to be loved by anyone and they don't want me to do this? And I just don't know. But I'm not going to beat up myself and isolate myself, because if I do that, then that means somebody has won. So that's the difference there, because somebody's won, and I'm not going to give anyone, whoever that person is now, that power. Because
exactly.
I know that at least some family members do love me, and they do appreciate me. And that's the difference. And I refuse to live the last end of my life, because I'm, you know, took 50 years for me to get, like you said, like Fishing said, took 50 years for me to get to this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't, you know, I cannot go backwards, and I cannot give away the power that I've just found. I can't do that. So I'm going to continue to speak my truth. And should be, you should be, as the first part of your screen name says, you should be speaking your truth too.
Yes, and not wearing the labels that people put on us. You touched on something that's very important there. Not wearing those labels, because people will put labels on you and make you feel, like you say, nobody likes you. And those things I have found, those are just things to stifle us and to put us down and to make us not be all that we're created to be. And we have
right.
to fight. We have to fight for it. And as we fight for it, it proves them wrong. It gives us the victory in our own lives and in our own truth.
Right. And don't you sleep good at night, though?
I do. Now I do. Now I really do. And I was just talking with someone about a week ago, and I said, I'm at a place now where I'm understanding what is most important and
mm-hmm.
who and what I'm going to invest my time in and my energy. And doing that has brought me so much peace. I mean, now it's not like I'm trying to fit into places where I know I don't fit. I'm not
right.
trying to be someone who I'm not. That means you either take me or you leave me. I have spent, I'm coming off of maternity leave, but during the time that I was on maternity leave, it was the best thing ever just to get up and to spend time with my little girl. And when I talked to my husband, to talk to him, and, you know, we had some good time together, but it was so relaxing not to be, for everybody else, what they wanted me to be. And so in some instances, it redefined how I'm going to re-enter the world, because I'm looking at, this is who I am, this is what's important. And
right.
I can't just be all things to everyone. I can't allow you to put your projections on me. I'm going to have to be who I am. And you could take it or you could leave it. But I know that I am accepted with God. I know what my calling is. I know what my purpose is. And so that's what I'm pursuing. And if I have to leave you along the way, then it's not personal. It's just that I have to keep moving and going forward in what I know I'm supposed to do and where I'm supposed to go.
Right. And, you know, and like I said, it's not personal, like you said. It's purposeful, because you're walking in your purpose, and you can't do that, holding on to so many things and trying to appease everyone else. And I just wrote about that earlier in the week. I said I'm going to take a day off from social media because a shift is coming, and my circle is about to get smaller, because I'm not going to accept and be around people and do all of, no. If I say no, it's no. And without having to give an explanation. And when people, you know, when I needed people, they didn't care to ask, so don't ask me now. And I just need to move on, because there's so many people out here who need help. And my job is to do that. It's to help them. And in helping them, I find, and maybe you do too, I find that it's still helping me to continue my healing journey. Because I never know
yeah.
what someone's going to say that will trigger something in me. So I love it. It works for me.
Yes, yes. And it pushes you to be your very best, because, you,
mm-hmm.
like you say, you never know what someone needs. And if they're looking to you, it's like, okay, I want to make sure that I need this. I want to make sure that I can help. I want to be a resource. And so, yes, I absolutely enjoy bringing hope to people and leading them
mm-hmm.
to places. They can find the healing. I love it. I could do it all day, every day in my sleep. I mean, I really believe everything that I encountered to come out on this side of it was for that purpose. so that I can serve others and help them in their own journey.
Yes, and before we go, one more time, two things actually. Tell us how we can get a copy of the book and any words of encouragement that you would like to leave us, because people, to tell you the truth, we've actually gone through quite a bit of the book, and once again, storytelling. That's what it's about. Don't want to sit here and read the book to you. We want you to get a copy, get a few. It's the holidays. You, everyone listening knows someone who can benefit from reading this book, because it's written in a way where it's going to touch everyone who touches it and opens the pages and looks at them and reads the words. It's going to touch someone and spark something within someone.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, it's going to happen. That's the beauty of reading. Let's put it this way. Books should never go anywhere, because that's how our stories get out. There are people who will be listening to this conversation all over the world. And that's the beauty of it, because I have found that people, hurt is the same. Hurt is just hurt. It's that awful four-letter word, and it's the same no matter what part of the country you are in, no matter what part of the world you're in. Hurt is hurt. And everyone is looking for someone to be their beacon. This book is a wonderful, wonderful reference guide in a way to ignite you to change.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Well, that.
Oh,
that,
you're welcome.
That really makes me happy and makes me want to do more and to make myself even more available. You can get the book on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Staples, A Books, or you can contact the publishing company, MSI Press, and you can find all my information at Jawanda.com, that's G-E-W-A-N-D-A.com. Definitely, if you've heard tonight, look me up on Facebook, same thing, Jawanda.com, and I make myself available to help as much as I can. So you'll find all of that information on my website, and be sure to check back on the website as we're putting all the updated material there.
Great, and let me get the final comments over here. In the chat room, as you know, they're still going strong. Wow. Let me see. Should be writes, I have had it on my heart to do it. And I'm pretty sure he's talking about starting his blog. And then he goes on to say, when that movie in your / my mind, oh, it just jumped something vicious. Hold on a minute. Oh, wow. Hold on. It just really jumped. When that movie in your or my mind head finally stops playing, the past abuse 24/7, it is a great feeling. When I came to the point when I admitted I did nothing wrong to deserve the abuse, it's when the healing started. And that's the truth. That's the truth. It's when the healing started.
Mm-hmm.
It's when the healing starts for you. And he goes on to say, great show. I'll find you on Facebook.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'll be looking for you. I will be looking for you.
I'm going to go over there and find you on Facebook, too. So I'll be coming at C. Maria Wall. Okay, I'll look for you over there, because I always say that people come here as guests, but they leave as friends. And I'm pretty sure that you found quite a few new friends tonight. Now you're part of the Healing Through Hurt family. And once you become family here, we're tight. Because family means so much more than just a connection by DNA. Most people know that by now. But if you didn't, family are those people who are there for you, those people who you can be inspired by, those people who will support you, educate you, enlighten you, motivate and encourage you. That's what family is. That's who family is. So just remember that, people. Sometimes your family looks nothing like you, doesn't live in your country. You never know where you're going to find that person that can give you that spark that you need to heal and then make a difference, find your destiny and your purpose. So we did go kind of long tonight, but I know that your little one, I heard her earlier with her little cute self. I love babies. So, you know, my son is in his 30s now, so, but to me, he's still my baby. So it's been a great show. I want to thank you so much for being here. And as always, don't be surprised if I write to you and say, hey, I'd love to have you back. See what's going on. If you're writing a new book, keep in touch, of course, because I would love to have you back on so that we can do all of this all over again and keep touching the world. And that's the beauty of, you know, what we do. And I love what you do. I love the book. And people, for those of you that don't know, as I said early on, the post office lost the shipment. I got it just 2 days ago, and I was, in all of my free moments, I've been reading the book. And it was like, wow, where does one begin? We could have another show and just continue in the book and continue this conversation, because she really puts so much into these pages that could touch so many different aspects of, I know, my life. So, again, thank you again for being here. You guys are going to love the book. Look for it. It Only Hurts When I Can't Run, One Girl's Story by Jawanda J. Parker. I want you to get this book. Trust me, you're going to enjoy it. It's going to help you lift some of those burdens that you've been carrying around for far too long. So, again, my dear sister, thank you so much for being here tonight. Enjoy that little one, because before you know it, they grow up so quickly. Oh, my gosh, before you know it, it's a blink of an eye. So enjoy every moment of it. So I'm going to let you get back to your little one and enjoy your evening. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And before you go, do you have any closing words of encouragement or enlightenment that you'd like to leave with everyone before you go? I'm not too sure if we got to that point before, but Should Be Fishing said to thank you. So it's been a wonderful, wonderful evening. So before you go, anything else you'd like to leave with us?
I would just want to say thank you, Maria, for having me on, and thank you everyone in the chat room who has come on to participate. Definitely, let's connect via social media. And the encouraging words that I would say to everyone is to live in the truth of your own story, your own reality. Own every part of you, the good, the bad, the ugly, the great, the awesome, because no one can argue with you when you are uniquely being yourself. It's the greatest gift that you can give is to accept every aspect of who you are. That is when I stopped running. That was when I stopped running, is when I began to accept me and not allow all of the pain and the victimization and all of the abuse and all of the rejection, all of that to identify who I was. That didn't identify me. God made me a wonderful person, and God sent me here for a purpose. And so taking every part of who I am to fulfill my purpose and my destiny has been the greatest thing that could ever happen. So just live in the truth of who you are and accept yourself despite anything that has ever happened to you.
Yes, yes. And not only that, but to just end it with this, simply learn how to let go so that you can live.
Yes, yes.
Yes, so thank you again for being here. It's been an anointed show. Lord knows when God steps in and he takes over as the program manager, things just come together. I enjoy it, every bit of it.
Yes, so did I. So did I. I really did enjoy being with you tonight.
Thank you, and enjoy your baby, and we will be in touch again. Jawanda over on Facebook. If you're having any problems finding her, I'll be sure to catch up with all of them, and I will send you all of her links myself if need be. So make sure that you reach out and stay in touch, because this is when we get stronger, when we encourage one another and we work together. So no one's walking this journey alone. You just have to reach out your hand, and we will be there to grab hold. So until next time, before I go, as always, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I pray each and every one of you enough. I pray you enough sunshine to brighten your rainy days. And I pray you enough rain to make your gardens grow beautifully. And I pray you enough smiles to turn the frown that you've been carrying around upside down. But most of all, I pray you enough strength and courage to face whatever may be coming your way this week and beyond. And before you go, Jawanda, we have Walk in Truth is now in the chat room. And Walk posted John 1:4, King James Version. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Oh, I tell you. Wow. So let me tell you, we're going to make a few. Yes, he is. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to do a few announcements so we can go, because if we keep talking, people are going to keep coming, and we're going to go to church up in here tonight. So.
Amen. When God says he can, he changes everything.
Yes. But tomorrow morning, everyone, I'm not going to do the Sunday morning inspiration. I'm going to take tomorrow off. We'll be back next week with something that I mentioned tonight, our 8 o'clock a.m. lesson for next week on the Sunday morning inspiration will be a pinch of salt. So join me for that. And, of course, be on the lookout. Go to my website, www.cmariawall.com. One of our weekly shows here on the Healing Through Hurt, our monthly shows, the WeChat, Women's Empowerment Chat, we have teamed up with Deacon Thomas Farr on his network, the Gathering Place Network. It airs on Channel 99 on Comcast. WeChat, Women's Empowerment Chat, we are now working with them, so you can catch us on Comcast Channel 99 there. And it's also streaming on my website, so you can see my episodes there. Another show coming up is called Focus, Females Offering Clarity, Unity, and Success. That'll be airing on Channel 75 on Comcast. We are working on that right now. Wow. Join me here. You want to keep up with the shows and what our schedule is, of course. Again, you need to talk to me, or you'd like to reach out to Jawanda. If you can't find her, reach out to me on my website, www.cmariawall.com. I'll be sure to add all of her contact information there and my guest list, so be looking for all of that there as well. You can also reach out to her on social media. So until next time, as always, I always want to remind you to continue to pay it and pray it forward. So until next time, thank you again. My special guest this evening has been Jawanda J. Parker. The name of her book is It Only Hurts When I Can't Run, One Girl's Story. Get a copy of this book. It is amazing. Amazing lady, amazing story, amazing journey, amazing book. And that is what we are about here on Healing Through Hurt iTalk Radio. So until next time, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, be well, be blessed. I am C. Maria Wall, a.k.a. the Shiro at your Ground Zero. We started off with Tori Lee's Good Music, our signature song for our show. We're going to end it that way. It has been a God-awesome night. Have a wonderful remainder of your weekend. Lord willing, I will see you back here again soon. Be well, be blessed, have a great night. Thank you to all of the people in our chat room, Walking Truth, Should Be Fishing, Jean, The Quiet Storm. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. My mere words cannot say it enough. to express how appreciative I am of all of your continued prayers and support. Thank you, thank you, thank you. As I said, we're going to end as we had begun with Tori Lee's Good Music. Until next time, be well, be blessed. Thank you again. Good night, everyone.
I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away with only good music. Oh, 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 with only good music. Something about the things you said stays in my mind. Makes me wanna sit down and listen to you. I listen all night. The melody, the arrangement makes my body go so crazy. I tie my feet, man, I love the beat. It's the way the music comes over me. The emotions I get, I won't fight. Sometimes the music is sure to make you cry, then dry your eyes. You know when the music is the way you can hide. Fly. I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away with only good music. Oh, 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 with only good music.
Rihanna, please don't stop the music. Cologne, strum my pain with the fingers. I could really use it. Quiet storms full of purple rain. My Cherie, I'm more lovely as a summer day. I'll let the whispers follow Marvin Gaye in my headphones till the music starts to fade away. I give away my brown sugar for a bit of pop. If love really was a bullet, I'd have took the shot. Yeah. Now would you buy me a drink just to take me home? Put your game in a song just to make me moan. I like my Robin Thicke, me alone. A thug album, triple shots, that's a trait.
I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away with only good music.